This is the What Matters Most podcast. A 100% listener-supported program. And now, here is your host, Paul Samuel Dolman.
Welcome back to What Matters Most, my beautiful audience all around the world. We are an international family, an international audience. Thank you for everyone who writes in with guest suggestions. The publicists, the publishers, the Patreons who support the show. Matthew Wayne Selznick, the technical genius behind all this madness. Thank you. Thank you. And today it is international. We are going to be connecting with a beautiful soul in New Delhi, India. Her book is really just a real opening, a heart-opening experience. It's Mastering Creation, Using the Law of Unification. I just love that. What an honor to welcome to the family for the first time, Divneet Kaur Lal. Thank you for coming on.
Hi, Paul. Thank you so much for having me.
How is it going with COVID over in New Delhi and in India and in your world?
Yeah, so now it's better. Like, we had pretty bad conditions earlier, but now it's like quite better. We are able to move out. Yeah, but obviously with our masks on. But yeah, it was terrible earlier. So we're just, you know, thankful that it's the conditions are getting better right now.
Did it affect you personally? Did you get sick? Did you lose anyone? Did you know anyone that suffered?
See a lot of, around, but not very close ones. But yeah, sure. The people whom I knew, I heard about a lot of people who just lost their lives because of COVID. And if you talk about my experience, I do not think, like, personally, it did not affect me a lot because I'm not a person who move around a lot. So I'm a person who used to stay inside. And also prior to COVID, when this COVID started, like in 2020, I was working on this book, Mastering Creation, Using the Law of Unification. And when I was working on this book, I was spending a lot of time alone and, you know, doing all these things, writing and thinking, contemplating, maybe researching. And when immediately this COVID thing happened, I had to publish this book. So it was so strong that I thought about it, like, because this time, the time was not really very good about publishing because I don't know how it will be. People were really, you know, it was spreading like anything. So, but it had to come out some way. So yeah, I did it. Like, it just got published. But yeah, I was not able to spread the word at that time due to the situations in the world, for sure.
Did you have an awakening experience? Is that what led to this beautiful book? Or was it a gradual thing of multiple experiences or slow process?
Now, I had been doing these, you know, meditation practices since I was like a child, and I had been reading all this text and spiritual texts, spiritual books. But the experience was something which kind of really moved everything. Like, it was not at all like what we read in the books. It was very different. Like, or maybe we just cannot relate to what words say when we really experience it. So what happened was, like, one day while in the meditation, something just, you know, kind of disappeared. When I say something, it was like, I realized after, like, some exploring that it was like a person vanished and it just disappeared. And it just became empty, kind of this void thing. And it kind of became very dark at that moment. So I was like the person who was doing everything and planning and doing everything, like even the person who was meditating was not there. So even meditation became difficult at that moment because I didn't know what actually happened. And over a period of time, maybe let's say months, a lot of months, maybe I do not know, I do not even remember the count. So this brightness started coming in. And, you know, if I would not have been reading those books or texts, maybe I would have gone insane because it was just beyond. I mean, we just cannot describe it in words. I do not know what that was. Like, you are there and you're meditating and suddenly you're like, I'm not here. Then what is here? So it just comes out like, I'm not here. Then what's here? So, like, the body is here, the mind is here, I'm breathing, I'm here, but something just went away. And what was that something? So it was very confusing too. And that is when I realized that this is how this identity vanishes, how this takes place. And it's not as simple as I'm describing. But yeah, definitely when the brightness started coming in slowly, when that kind of, you know, it just starts that fullness, it was the most beautiful thing I could have ever experienced in the world. And it kind of stabilized over a period of time. So now it's more like it's there, but at that moment, you know, when you see it for the first time, or when it is like, it's, let us say the brightness is slowly growing. And then when you see that highest level of brightness the first time, you're like, oh my God, this is something, I don't know, what is it? There are no words. You're like, you're stunned. You are in some wonder. And after that, it kind of settles. So now I know it's there, but I'm not like quite like, but yeah, definitely when it happens, like sometimes when I go outside, maybe I stand in balcony for some time, I really find like, yeah, it's still there. It has not left. So yeah, that is how it happened.
How are you and who were you before all that started happening? Were you just an ordinary person moving through the world?
Yeah, I was like, I was living a normal life, doing my job and everything, and out of a sudden, but yeah, I was always reading this book. Like, maybe it was already, you know, kind of, it had to happen. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I can say that maybe there was this purpose, but I kind of was not focusing on that purpose. I was doing it side by side, like I was kind of giving some time to meditation, but I was not totally involved into it. I was involved into my job, my work, more than I was involved into this spirituality. But yeah, definitely I was there. But then there, this time came when it was like getting stronger, this urge, like I had to put in more time. And before this experience happened, it just became stronger for sure. And I also started spending a lot of time in solitude for a while. And I also kind of did some self-inquiry, like, what is this? This is happening. Because at times when I was like going to job, I was also feeling that like it was very strong. So this experience was quite, when it happened, like when it dissolved, before that, it was also strong. It was not a weak, I would not say it was subtle, not at all. It happened very strongly. And at job also, I sometimes felt like I need to like, you know, run away from this. I do not know why. So I used to go to work and I was like, I need to run away. I don't know why. And the other thing was that I wanted to work. I wanted to do the job, but I don't know what was happening. And then when I started spending this time alone in solitude and did some kind of, you know, questioning or self-inquiry, it just happened out of nowhere. It kind of dissolved. And you know, when this dissolution happens, then there is no other way. So this another thing which was like pushing me or pulling me towards this, yeah, I need to work, I need to go to job, like that was gone. So now that's not there, that person was controlling this thing. No, you need to work, you need to go job. Now that person was not there. But yeah, definitely the mind was there. So now the mind was confused because it was like the mind was being controlled by that person. Now the person has gone, who's going to control the mind? And so that was the reason for a while after this dissolution or this, when the person disappeared, it was very disorienting because now the mind was really confused. And yes, I had no idea what happened. So I was like, now, I don't know. So then automatically things started, you know, brightening up and it started flowing. I don't know how it started flowing. It just happened. So yeah, I started working on these ideas, started coming in. Like I had to do this research, and I started researching more and more about something, this formula of creation. And if you'll ask me why, I'll say, I don't know. I did that. I just did that. And I had to do that at that moment. And I wrote that book, and out of nowhere, so did that, wrote that book, had to publish, and now I have to spread the word, like I have to do it.
Did you get really scared and try to shy away from it at all, or did you just surrender and go with it the whole time?
I did that. This is a very beautiful question you have asked. You know, I always say that it's very important to, you know, ask the right questions to really understand what actually happened. Yeah. So I did that. At that moment, then this in the beginning, especially because I was very, I was identified with the person. I would not say I was not, although I used to read a lot of spiritual texts and books, but I was definitely, and I was not aware about it until it happened. Because, you know, it just, when you read those books, it's you are just in another world. You're like, oh, this is spirituality. Read those books, texts, do those rituals, and you're a spiritual person. Until or unless you are just disidentified with that person, you do not know what actually spirituality means. And that, so I was very identified with that and that person. And when it is, but yeah, so I think it helped me too. This reading of spiritual texts and books helped me too. And I remember asking or telling, you know, one or two people in my life, like something, I don't know, but something has just gone. And, you know, people would stare at me like what I'm saying. And I did it once or twice, maybe, I remember, and I stopped doing that. I thought, just, I don't know, this is something else. I just cannot go to people and say, like, something disappeared. But yeah, and I did it myself. I just, you know, kind of spent time in solitude again and did all those things, self-inquiry, and I understood. And most important part was that once you understand that what happened, it kind of becomes like very, you kind of start accepting it, or maybe you just get this recognition. But I think that was only required until that point when this brightness started coming in. Because once that happened, I think I did not require that explanation or understanding as well, because it was like more, you know, you just get this inner recognition what happened. You just kind of do not require now words or understanding or recognition. It kind of just happens. It kind of, you just realize automatically. But yeah, for that period, until that period when it did not happen, you know, the brightness did not came in, that dark period or the empty one, of course, I was looking for, like, what just happened? What happened? What is this? What is this? Because this emptiness is also a part of it, but it's not the whole thing. This is not what we search for. We search for that fullness, that brightness. So yeah, when that happened, we just know that is it. It's it.
Have you always been so brave? What was it like as a woman growing up in India? I know the patriarchy there can be very strong.
I do not know. I think my strength comes from, I told you, I spend a lot of time with myself, a lot of time with myself, and with books, maybe with, and all my strength. If someone asked me who are my teachers, I would definitely say books, texts, holy texts. So I have learned, like, everything I have learned from them, definitely. So I think my strength comes from, and also I had, like, faith. I do not know. I just, you know, I trust the words written in those holy texts. I think that also makes us brave. It kind of, it just develops a faith and a kind of, you know, a strong faith, which just, which has the power to step out and move mountains. Yeah. So I always had that. I think that was a plus point too, because I could not have done this without, maybe, you know, someone who could have guided me. So I did that because of the help from, or maybe the my faith, which I had in the written words.
What is the law of unification? I just love those words.
Now, this is something, this is a formula which I found in, like, every text or every creator God, every creator on this planet. So whatever creation came into this world, it came through a formula. And this is the formula I found in the creator gods of the mythologies. I found them how the geniuses bring their creations in the world. I found them in other texts which talk about, you know, creating something or bringing the fruits of the higher consciousness or maybe of a higher realm to this planet and give them form in this world. So this is what was the underlying principle of all those creations. So through like all the scriptures, is so many scriptures, so many mythological gods, even the scientists, when they bring anything new, anything innovative to this planet, and all of them, they follow this law of unification. And all this came out. So, and it's just not about creating something. It's, this is also the path which can take us to, you know, those higher levels where people can attain that that enlightenment or whatever word they use. That is because if you talk about the creation, it's like it starts from that void and then it brings that creative tendency. So when we step higher on that ladder of consciousness, it's like first you go to that creative plane and then you can go beyond that. So it's the same path. So it's for if anyone wants to, you know, bring those or get in touch with their higher creative power and bring those higher levels of new, you can say anything, new creations, models, frameworks, which can take this world ahead, which can really, really take mankind ahead, maybe in terms of consciousness. And we can actually use this formula to bring those higher fruits into the world and establish those things here in the world. And also it's also good if so, like if you ask these questions, like your show talks about what matters most, so we always have this question. So this is also law of unification also helps us. If I had this formula earlier, or if I had known what is law of unification, that would be really easy for me to choose, like at that moment, like what I have to choose, what is the highest desire, or which is this, you know, the path I should take. So law of unification also helps in making these, you know, good decisions about life, which can actually evolve our lives or maybe evolve others around us and the lives of other people around us. So yeah, this is, it's like, according to me, law of unification is the highest law. And it's, this is something which, when all the major laws are combined together, you get law of unification. So we don't have to follow all the other laws. So people talk about so many other laws, like the world operates with, you know, law of vibration, law of gender, law of so many other laws they talk about. So no, we don't need them. We just need this law of unification and we are all good.
How does the listener apply these laws to create a beautiful life?
Well, this law of unification, it's a technique, and we have to like practice this. So if you talk about in the beginning, we really have to, so I'll just explain a little bit how this works. So we are just raising our awareness here. We are trying to reach the higher levels of consciousness and we are connecting with the higher levels of consciousness. And what do we have our mind, and then in between we have this idea mind, and then we have the higher consciousness. So what we need to do, we just need to connect with the idea mind, which is already connected to the higher levels of consciousness. And it can provide us the ideas from those higher levels of consciousness, which we can use and give form in the world using our mind. And also it's not just about, you know, the ideas about creating new creations. It's also about a simple decision we need to take in our life. Like also, like suppose I have to choose something. What do I have to choose? I don't know. I just need to connect with that idea mind, that plane of idea mind, and it would guide me. It would like provide me the right idea. That would be, you know, sometimes it's now sometimes we do not know what is the right idea. So I'll share a small example here. Not an example exactly. I do not remember exactly where I read that, but yeah, it was somewhere I read in a holy text, in maybe in Ramayana, I guess, in an Indian holy text. So this is like sometimes our small duty, or you can say a small work, is not that much important as compared to a higher duty, which is assigned to us by a higher consciousness. So how to figure out this higher duty is what is important. So like sometimes we have to leave behind or maybe leave some small tasks in order to, you know, some small duties in order to fulfill those higher duties. And that is where law of unification comes in. So law of unification, through which we can connect with this idea mind. Idea mind has got our highest duty, knows our highest duty. And I use the word individual dharma for this. So it has got our individual dharma inside it, like what are we here for, or what is the highest duty we are here for. And it just, you know, kind of provides us at every step, it guides us to follow that individual dharma. And this makes our lives easier. And, you know, like you say, like we can move and flow with that.
Do you just basically meditate and tune in to that inner wisdom? That's what I do. I make a lot of space and a lot of quiet time to listen to the whispers of the universe.
So this is a good thing. We can meditate. It's beautiful. And meditation is always beautiful. But there are other things also we can do because of there is a lot of information and a lot of, you know, knowledge in the world. And there are small practices and our consciousness is always drawn towards these things outside, which are outsiders. And there are so many things which come from lower levels of consciousness. And we are unable to identify it, first of all. We just do not know what knowledge is coming from a lower level of consciousness and what is coming from a higher level of consciousness. So first of all, we need to really know what are these forces of lower levels of consciousness. And because our mind is so engrossed in these things, so entangled that it just does not know. Like I said, when I was working, I had no idea. I was just doing something and I was happy with it, but I had no idea what is like that desire which I was working towards. Was it my highest duty? Was it my true purpose here in this world? Or was I just doing it because it was just, you know, kind of the force of lower level of consciousness was letting me do it or telling me to do it and I was just following it? So lower levels of consciousness can be like the beliefs which are formed, you know, without inquiry, without any self-inquiry. Like we just grow up and we are like, okay, we have to study and then we have to go and work and then we have to earn and then we have to have a family. That's what we are here for. And we never inquire it. Like, are we here for these things? Are we really have to follow these, you know, the models and the frameworks which have already been set for us? Or are we here for something else? And yes, there can be a different individual dharma for anyone. So individual dharma means it's different for anyone. And maybe maybe you have a different one. I have a different one. But no, we're all following the same thing. We usually do that. I mean, most of us, we just follow the same kind of trend. So only when we do not inquire, if a person starts inquiring about it, like, really, I have to do this? Then obviously our beliefs start to change and those lower levels of consciousness really do not have a hold on us. Similarly, there are desires which are formed on the basis of these lower levels of consciousness. So these forces, if we can, you know, identify these forces and then if we can overcome these forces and then rise up higher on the planes, you know, of the consciousness, we can connect with the idea mind.
What is it too about awakening and finding these beautiful energies that always seems to guide us back to serve the whole and to serve others?
This is a beautiful question. Like when we have to like serve the whole or serve others, because even when we talk about creators or any person who has brought something innovative or creative or something that has taken the world a step ahead, maybe in terms of consciousness or maybe materially, in any terms. So all those creators, they have worked to serve, and that was their highest purpose. So it was like they have achieved that mastery over their process of creation through service. It's also, I have also used this in my book, mastery through the true service. And, you know, no master can be a master until he or she learns how to be of service to others. I cannot master anything until I learn how I can be of service or how I can serve. So even when we talk about this process of creation, mastering this process of creation, we should first learn how to serve, how to be, you know, humble beings, because that's important. A master would never be someone who would be like arrogant. It's not, mastery does not mean that you have to rule over others. It just means that you should know how to rule over your lower desires, or maybe how to rule over the desires or the beliefs that are coming from those lower levels of consciousness. And that's how the process of creation also, you know, mastering creation comes into existence.
You definitely feel led. Do you wake up every day and just tune in and see what life or the universe wants you to do next?
I just do not. It's everything is normal, if to be honest. It doesn't feel anything is different. Everything feels very normal. It just feels more light. Like before, the life that I was living earlier, that was the moment I used to, you know, think I had to do this, or maybe today, oh my God, this is another day, let's do this. But now, no, it's very light. It's like it's more normal. Because, you know, when you do not have this thing, that is the time when you are like, oh my God, we have to do this, or maybe we have really kind of, you know, our mind kind of plan things, or maybe it kind of tells us, okay, this is what we need to do. But now it's not the mind. It's because mind is what makes us think we are, you know, we need to tune in. When it's not there, like, or maybe even it's there, it's more in the background, it's something else. It's already like tuned in. I don't have to like tune in. So it just happens. I don't know. I just kind of walk through everything, like whatever is happening right now. I would not say I need to tune in. That was different. And even when I used to try tuning in earlier, I would not even compare it to this. It's this natural state is the most beautiful state. It's like effortless. It's like it was always there. And the only thing which is different from that, like how I lived my life earlier, was the level of awareness. So earlier, I was just not aware about a lot of things, and suddenly this awareness comes in, and you just become aware about subtle things. Like, I do not know, like, very subtle things. How can I even tell you? Let me just think about it. Maybe like, yeah, sometimes you even feel like when you are sleeping, at that moment too, something is there. Like, you are sleeping, but something is just aware about that, and it's always there. Like, that awareness is always there, always kind of looking, maybe at you, maybe at what this body is doing, maybe if it's sleeping. So something is there. This awareness is there, which is always kind of looking. Yeah. So this is what if I have to give it word, I would say this is like your awareness increases and you get this heightened level of awareness. Earlier, your awareness was low because at that moment, we were not even aware about our small habits. So this is, and there are practices which help us in increasing awareness. And I think that are worth it. So I think that was also, these practices were also helpful in, you know, taking me to this place. So I was a person who used to, you know, exercise a lot of willpower, like even in small things. It's like, we can always do that. For example, if we say something to someone, we just, you know, make commitments. So we just do. So this is a very basic practice. Do what you say. So if we do that, our our kind of willpower increases. And these are small things, even, you know, kind of, it just helps us try to gain a little bit of control over our lower impulses. And this also helps in heightening our level of awareness to a certain level. And yeah, I guess that happened as well. So that was the reason I was a little bit of aware about what was happening inside me.
What are your feelings, intuitions, and thoughts around the state of the world right now? We seem to be at a transformational point, but our very existence as a species is under siege because of our choices in terms of climate change. The Earth is this beautiful organism, incredible intelligence, billions of years old. It will always find balance. It's not going to let a parasitic biped disrupt the whole for very long. I mean, maybe a couple hundred years, which is nothing in the Earth's life. What are your feelings around that? Can we make the leap and learn to live at a higher level collectively and then thus be sustainable? And if we don't, won't we certainly just go the way of the mammoth and the dinosaur and go away? And it won't really be a big deal.
I think only man can do that. I mean, just because we have this mind with us, we can do that. Because we are given with this capability, we can evolve. And, you know, there have been time when people have been evolving. So it was, when we talk about the old years or old ages, there were very few people who used to, you know, awaken or who used to say, yeah, we had this experience. Maybe they used to hide it. I do not know. But even if we go into texts, they always talk about that. There are always a few. But now at this moment, I think we have heard so many stories about people getting awakened, people getting enlightened. And there is always a reason behind this. Why this is happening and why this is happening out of nowhere. Like people are not even making that much effort as people used to do in earlier ages. So, you know, when we talk about these yogis in India, they used to do those practices for hundreds and hundreds of years. Like they used to, I do not know what kind of severe things they used to do to reach enlightenment. And then also they used to say, you just cannot get it. Maybe you need another lifetime for that. And now it's like, it's happening to a lot of people. A lot of people are saying that it's happening to them. So definitely it means that it's very close to us. It means that, if we talk about the creator or the universe or anything, it wants human beings to be enlightened or to awaken and to use these higher levels of consciousness to create a planet which works on these higher states, on higher levels, and can actually evolve. And I do not doubt at all that it can happen to each one of us just by, you know, making some little choices and a little bit of effort. It's very easy in these times than it was in earlier times. So definitely we need this. And also, like, you know, it's also this feeling, like when you experience this, it, like if I say I experienced it, I'm just not fulfilled. Like I experience it. Now what? I can see it. Why can't others see it? I just want other people to see it. It's like when you see a beautiful movie and you share it with your friends, you share it with people. Oh my God, I have seen this beautiful movie. You need to watch it as well. So that is what brings joy. And I just want that, yes, if I can see it, each one of us can see it as well. And yes, we can do it. Definitely. It's very near. It's like, it's close to us. We just need to take a step.
What are some of the steps, simple steps, or even one step the listeners can take today as they listen to this to move closer to it and to awakening it?
I would definitely say that when I talk about this idea mind, and I tell people to like connect with this idea mind, I also talk about this another mind, which the humans have, which each one of us has, and which actually cause a lot of hindrance if it is not, you know, used properly. And then we have this AI, the artificial intelligence coming in. And this is like, you know, artificial intelligence is something like a lot of minds, a lot of human minds combined together. It's the mind is always, our human mind is at a lower level of consciousness than the idea mind. So this artificial intelligence is definitely at a lower level when all the minds are combined together. So it's not gonna, so if we are going to, you know, put the reins in the hands of this idea mind, it's gonna ruin the planet for sure. We have to use the artificial intelligence, but we have to use it like very, very responsibly. And it can only happen if we can connect with this this idea mind. Now, idea mind is more like, you know, the decision maker. So if something has to be decided, it must not be decided based upon the information and the knowledge that is in this artificial intelligence or maybe in the mind. This is like very low level intelligence. So the decision has to come from the idea mind, and then we can use that decision to like, you know, give form to that decision in the world through the artificial intelligence or through the human mind. So it's more like from idea mind to mind rather than from mind to. So it's not, we cannot force like, so artificial intelligence is like, for example, I just have to, I'm confused what I need to do in my life. And I'm just using this artificial intelligence. Like we do this nowadays. Oh, this is, these are our likes. This is what we want to do. This is, oh, now this is what you need. Like the artificial intelligence of computers do that, right? Because you are this age, because this is your, these are your needs. This is, so they kind of do this qualitative and quantitative stuff, and they give us a result. No, we do not need that. That's all based upon information and knowledge. We need to connect with the idea mind, and that is going to decide what we need. And then we have to use that artificial intelligence or maybe our mind to give that decision the form, or maybe, you know, to kind of manifest that decision. So it's more like, yeah, it's also, if I like another thing, I just came to my mind and I would like to share. We have talked a lot about, you know, the law of attraction or maybe these kind of practices, like you can get what you want, these kind of things. Now, this is, there's a little bit of loophole in this, I would say. What happens here is when we try to manifest these desires, like, we do not know where they are coming from. If they are coming from this lower level of consciousness or a higher level of consciousness. So it can be, we can, maybe we are influenced by some social media or maybe something outside. And then we want to, you know, bring it into form, but we are just kind of, you know, wasting our energy into that because it's not gonna help us evolve and it's not gonna help our planet evolve. And ultimately, it's not gonna provide us the fulfillment, which we can only get if we perform or if we, you know, fulfill those higher desires which are there for us to be fulfilled.
Well, what would you say for someone out there in the world listening who feels an emptiness, a hole, and is looking just for a spark of inspiration and perhaps hope?
We are all here for a reason, of course. We are born on this planet for a purpose. And it's never that like one human being is born for so it's like there is a purpose for all of us to evolve. So even if we have different purpose in these lives, so even if it's like my individual dharma is different from your individual dharma, or if it's different from another person's individual dharma, but if we are going to follow that individual dharma, it's always gonna add up. It's always gonna add up to that evolution of the whole. So individual dharma is something which never goes into waste. If we can connect with this, if we can know our individual dharma, we are, there is no fulfillment other than following the individual dharma. But there is this beautiful quote in Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is a holy text of the Hindus in India. Also, maybe you have heard about it. So the text is about individual dharma. It's like they say, it is better to strive in one's own dharma than to succeed in another's dharma. And nothing is ever lost in following one's own dharma. And it's always, sometimes we just get misguided. We just look at other people, look at other things around us, and we start following those things just because we kind of, you know, our consciousness is drawn towards that, and we forget our individual dharma. So I would say, like, always follow your individual dharma, and you're not gonna remain unfulfilled, and also you're gonna help the planet evolve and, you know, take it to new heights. So that's really important for us.
Thank you. This has just been fantastic. You are just brimming with knowledge and wisdom and joy.
Thank you so much, Paul. This was like a wonderful conversation with you. And I love the questions you asked. It was like really, you know, when you when someone asks the right questions, it's like you really tap into something and you're able to provide something, you know, to the audience as well. So yeah, that really, those questions were really good as well.
You've been listening to the What Matters Most podcast, a 100% listener-supported program. If you feel inspired, please go to our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/whatmattersmost and join our family. So until the next time, stay inspired and in the light.